Hello and welcome in for this Esports Life episode 45. How's it going, Squeaks?
Wow, it's going well. How are you?
I'm good. You sound tired, dude. You look tired.
You don't see me. I am tired. Thank you for asking, dude. Long day at work. Here we are, though. We made it, and we're recording another one of these, dude. It feels like just a few days ago we recorded another episode.
It's funny how life works. I mean, you could just, you know, not record for weeks, and it just feels like we recorded back to back.
Yeah.
But yeah, we kind of did.
It feels like, you know, one of the hosts of the podcast or my guest has other commitments that he's going to, and I guess priorities lay where they lay. And I'm glad that you're making a choice. It may not be the right choice, but to leave me hanging high and dry as we record, what is it, like 12 of these in the span of a week?
Yeah, I like to work hard. So, I mean, get used to it.
Yeah, on things that are not the pod, that's fine. I'm out here grinding, sweating away, okay? I'm here with a sweatband on my head. Like
that's
ninja.
Just to hide your hairline. Let's be real.
That's so fucked. I quit, okay? I will not have it.
Four sweatbands on that motherfucker.
At the end of the day, here we are. I'm here in front of my computer to be berated, okay, by this fucker.
I know you get what you get. 4 hours after you finish work, I have him in a meeting for 30 minutes, and then we have to record a podcast, and then he has to go to bed.
Yeah,
no dinner for you.
I got Chick-fil-A today, so I'm in a good mood. Okay, I got my
delicious
waffle fries and everything. Yeah. So
do you put the sauce? You put the sauce on the burger? Or do you dip it in the burger, or do you dip the burger in the sauce?
Really, really good question. But
thanks. So
I don't
much.
Dip the burger in the sauce. Okay. I put the sauce on the bun and then fucking squish it there. It's like I use a Polynesian.
Should.
Yeah. Whoever dips. I recently ran into someone who dips pizza in ranch.
Oh my God. Definitely never see that person again.
I won't. I really won't, dude. That will end a relationship for me. Like, I don't like that, you know?
I mean, yeah. Something you just crossed the line, like I don't even care how hot this guy was. You should never see him again.
I won't. I'll make a concerted effort of it. On the subject of dipping, someone dipped their wallet into buying a new vape. Launders. What vaporizer can you recommend our 12-year-old and 13-year-old listeners?
Well, hold on. First of all, okay, I don't care who they're marketed towards. There are laws in each country, and people should abide by them. It comes back to parenting, okay, Squeaks?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you, man. I've changed views. I think 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds should be vaping all the time. Good for them. Fuck it.
Wait, that's not exactly what I meant.
No, I'm agreeing with you, Launders. Okay, fine. 11 or 12-year-olds, they can all vape. You're right. And I'm glad that you've sent so many messages to the tobacco companies to legalize it for 8-year-olds. Good for you, man. I think you've really convinced me otherwise. Bubble yum flavor, let's do it.
So the brand is... Wait, no free brand deals.
Mute that, Nathan.
I never said anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Okay, if you want to be a vaporizer sponsor of the pod, then yeah, there's probably people. There's people in high places that listen to this podcast, okay?
Like a vape?
A vape company, sure. I mean, we don't discriminate. And yeah, I got, so this one's cool because it's like a jewel where you can pull on it and you don't have to push the button. Mm-hmm. So before you could hear me push the button, but now I can secretly be vaping all pod. You would never know.
Doesn't it make a noise? Vape right now. Let's just have a normal discussion. Just vape and try sneaking in. Okay. So back to you not being secure. I could, you coughed, dude.
I tried to talk.
Oh, that's not smart. Oh my God, you would just have the biggest fucking rip.
But you were none the wiser.
I knew you were vaping, man.
Just like you.
Oh yeah, completely. Well, good. Good for you, man. I'm glad you're spending things on things that make you your heart filled with joy and your smoke filled with your lungs filled with smoke.
They're getting these all back.
Good.
Oranges and apples.
Whatever, same shit.
Oranges and apples.
Same shit. You know what I mean? Good for you. You know what flavor you got today?
Berry melon explode. No, it's actually red berry.
It's red berry. The fuck is a red berry? Like a strawberry flavor, raspberry
Not
flavor?
Exactly. It's kind of like purple drink.
Stop. So cough syrup is what you're saying. You got cough syrup flavor. Congrats, man. I'm actually, you know, I have a flavor right now. Pamplemousse LaCroix, and I'm sipping on it right now, just casually. It's really
good.
We're
only supposed to bring out LaCroix reviews when we don't have content left over. So
perfect.
Way to tell the viewers that we're all out of material.
We're high and dry. No, I mean, hey, listen, LaCroix is the content. I've had people DM me the nicest things ever. And maybe even should we bleep out LaCroix, maybe we'll get a brand deal and then you'd be obligated to speak highly of them.
One of my favorite podcasts actually has LaCroix sponsorship, so it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, well, they'll never do it, Launders. And you want to know
why? I mean,
why?
Now you're getting free marketing here, I mean, with you, so.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you can't have one of the hosts eviscerate your product. You call it, what is it, low battery juice?
No, I think you do a pretty good job of selling it.
No, I think it's great, man. I think when I'm tired at the end of the day working hard, there's nothing better than sitting back on my lazy boy, turning on Friends, and drinking a nice little LaCroix pamplemousse
flavor.
Yeah,
who needs gamer girl bathwater? You know, you can just go ahead and buy a whole case of LaCroix, and it never sells out. That's the best part, because nobody wants it. Go ahead.
There you go. So you just completely negate. See, this is why we're not sponsorship friendly. Okay, I'm trying to elevate us to the next level, and here you are just ruining bridges. We'll never see. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Okay, someone will link LaCroix to this fucking plot point in the goddamn podcast history, and they'll never take this as a sponsor.
You sound very fed up right now. You sound sick and tired.
I am a little sick, and I'm a little tired. Okay, mm-hmm. I've been grinding, bro. But nothing, you know what helps me with it? LaCroix. So yeah, pamplemousse is a pretty good flavor. I just don't think it's up there with coconut though. So I'm giving pamplemousse a good, nice third place. A bronze medal, if you will. Forgettable, but not bad. Pamplemousse. Get it at your local CVS or any place that sells drinks.
Yeah, I mean, again, just costing us money somehow, but cool.
We got a lot.
Got a great, great ad spot. So today we asked the audience on Twitter, is that the right word?
Yeah, we pulled it. We asked
for
them
some questions, and we got some cool questions, and I think that they're kind of really great open-ended questions. Gotta say, people are getting better at asking questions. That's also a skill. That's something that, you know, if you're an interviewer, you got to be better at asking questions, but it feels like everyone's getting really good at asking questions.
And good ones, and like ones that are super open-ended.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Yeah, well, you just said it less succinctly, so I was just trying to button it up, you know?
Fuck.
Put that shit in a nice little bow, okay? You'll go on and on about the questions and whatnot. Do you have the questions open? I don't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not surprised you aren't prepared. I definitely always am ready, so...
You're opening it right now. You're lying.
I do have the questions right here in front of me
right now. In 5 seconds, here we go.
I'm about to read them off for you,
and we're live. This is Esports Life, episode 45.
Go.
Okay, you have them.
Boggs asks, lots of games
have been... At Boggswell. You have to give him a shout-out, dude.
Thanks for interrupting me.
Yeah, well, thanks for missing it.
Lots of games have been accused of changing in an attempt to reach a wider audience. Mm-hmm. Have any games been successful? Fuck. Go ahead.
You fucked it up. You were so confident, dude. How do you fuck it up? You're reading, you're a broadcaster. You're going to blast, man.
In my mind, I had built the whole puzzle and then realized that like I just had the top like
you
halfway down the middle.
So fast. You didn't even take a breath. You just were like, fuck.
The carpet was just pulled from right under me. I had no idea.
You're caught with your pants down, man. Okay.
All right.
I'll give it a fair shot. Boggs at Boggswell asks, lots of games have been accused of changing in an attempt to reach a wider audience. Have any games successfully done this without significantly affecting their skill ceiling? In addition,
great question, Bob.
Do you think team games or 1v1 games have the potential to be more frustrating? Love, Boggs.
He didn't say love,
I know,
Boggs.
That's a little editorializing. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Kendrick, go ahead.
But all right, so I'll take this one if you'd like. No, there's two parter here. Both are actually really good. So that's a good question. Have any games been successful at doing this without significantly affecting their skill ceiling? We can think of some prime examples. You know, Fortnite, that they've made a really great game, but then they've also kind of fucked it up with like a lot of the kind of content changes they made. That one's messed up, dude. That one's messed up.
Yo, that was the
that
line,
one's messed
man.
Up. I think, dude, a hamster balls, helicopters. It's okay, but like, you can't like you actually
crying,
just mark a point on the ground, and the rockets appear out of nowhere. They
it's
come
called,
from thin air.
Just build, dude. That's what you say. Just build out of there. Just put a little ceiling or whatever, and just run away. That's
it blows up like four pieces at once. You can't even. That's really
all
that's
the people
next
who are negative about it just don't understand that they have to fucking iterate against the meta. They're a bunch
it's
of
right before the mega World Cup too.
Oh, what is it? Only a small little 70 mil on the line. Give me a break. Google's worth like 100 times that.
It's life changing amounts of money, and I honestly was never conspiratorial when it came to Epic and their esports stuff. But now it feels like they actually are doing it on purpose, because they added the before the like a really big winter skirmish. They had a giant sword, if you remember that. That was like it was just like the alt team of like Keyblade or something. Like it just destroyed everything instantly, and then they actually removed it like pretty quickly because it was so bad. But it got so much press, and I honestly think that they did this on purpose.
Maybe they did.
Even though they know it's like super anti-competitive. Yeah. I haven't played it in game, but even if you're looking at the trailer of the weapon, like you're like, what are you supposed to do about that?
Is this like upcoming Fortnite thing? This is like a first party. This isn't like some right the Worlds or whatever, the 70 mil tournament. Is this like Fortnite's aware? Like this is their tournament, no?
Oh yeah, this is there. They don't. There's
oh,
no
one.
People so could run tournaments. So
that's funny,
yeah, that,
man.
This is pretty crazy.
I and think it makes
had
people
a really
want to
bad
tune
take
in.
On Twitter.
Then do you think
yeah.
it makes people
I mean,
want
yeah.
to tune in? I want to watch.
Dude, who
that.
Doesn't want to watch? It'll this is like funny. The World Star Hip Hop blueprint right here.
Yeah,
you know.
No,
everybody
I'm with
wants
it.
To talk about how bad things are, but everybody wants to watch the train wreck.
Yeah, but Fortnite doesn't have like key competitive players rather than key streamers. Like people who are really good, obviously they're not as popular as the people who are super stream friendly. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, that's actually, there is some overlap. Like, I'm not sure.
Is there?
I mean to like stop you before your whole point, but like Tfue, for example, is like the number one streamer on Twitch. He's also one of the best Fortnite players, like for sure.
Okay.
Like he got number one recently in the world qualifier.
But what I'm saying is like, I know Tfue from streaming. I don't know anyone from Fortnite. I mean, I'm not paying close attention, but I don't know anyone who's like, just good at Fortnite and not a streamer. Whereas in other games, I know people are really good but don't stream. You know what I mean?
I have such an interesting take on that. I feel like streamers get to learn games way faster than people who don't stream. You get help constantly to improve at a game.
Oh,
somebody
no.
is doing live demo reviews on you, and when you're first starting out in a game, so like the average skill level of a viewer in just like a variety game or whatever, that like the returns are so much higher when you first start playing the game, where almost everybody is better than you, and people are like, you meet one or two people who are really good, some people are just good enough to give advice, and then you get to a level where you might be helping viewers, but at that point you can be teaching yourself. But you get so much out of starting
for
a game,
like a day
streaming it
for like a
I
day
disagree.
No way
I disagree.
Man I have yet to read some helpful thing in a chat like, or it's like a million people just yelling at the streamer. But for like a day when you're finding out how to do like simple shit, then yeah, it's helpful to have a chat. But most of the time, chat does not give good advice ever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I love my viewers. They're very helpful.
Mine are just berating me.
That's so weird. No, do you really think that?
Yeah, 100% I think that. There's no
dude, I've learned so many games because of my stream.
Like what?
Even if it was like Rocket League,
dude,
learning
okay,
so many
I
things about
recently
League.
Streamed Dota Underlords in front of yeah. like for the first time, and I just got like you, Nathan, like a bunch of people are just like, oh, it's right there. Do you seriously not see the portraits and the synergy? Like, I'm like, dude, slow the fuck down. This is my first game. And you guys are just like, it's so easy. So what you've got to, I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? I don't even know. I don't know what I'm doing. That's what I get. Okay. I don't get this patient. You're like fucking, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's, maybe you have like a different relationship with people that watch you.
Okay. Maybe, you know, like if you got the UI figured out. Then
yeah. Okay. Even that know. Though. So in Rocket League, you're saying you got help, but what, like yeah. what? Like, don't go for that.
How to get off the ground? No, like all the training stuff. Everything like how to float and how to use like how to use stuff efficiently.
Yeah, but you, if you were to continue to play Rocket League, Launders, you would reach the you would like if you played it for like a month, after 1 month, you would get to the point where you don't have to listen to chat, man.
Something like that. I mean, there's still that's what I'm saying. There's you get diminishing returns after
okay,
a certain
I agree,
of time.
I agree. But it's
it gets
very
you,
short.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So what you were just saying. So with like, you know, streamers like the top streamers who are top players, like this, their chat is not the reason they're a top player.
Yes.
So that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair point. That's probably, I mean, there's, you know, very few people in the world that could like help Shroud in
no.
a shooting game.
Well, there's a ton of people that try on HLTV. Yeah, like, if only his crosshair placement was put a little higher on Mirage when he peeped A site. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're talking to Shroud. You scrub, okay?
Okay, so wait. So what games are out there that have, like, gotten successful and they didn't significantly affect their skill ceiling of the game?
Well,
Counter-Strike? Dota? Counter-Strike Dota?
Well, Rocket League is a big one.
Ooh, yeah.
They've been they know how to do expansions. But they don't change, like, as far as I'm aware, serious mechanics. Like, they change, like... They have like a lot of sponsorships with like other games or a lot of expansions or updates where they like cast a wider net aesthetically and like they update their maps and their cars and that's like they have a Hot Wheels thing. It's super cool. That's the way to go. Cool. But that's aesthetic. I don't know if that's answering Boggs's question. I think
well,
Boggs is implying.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the question. I think it's like, is that the best way to do it? You know, I feel like he's asking like, is the perfect game possible? And if not. Well, why is it, or if it is possible, then why is it that games like, I don't know, Fortnite or whatever exist where they're constantly, you know, they're trying to reach a wider audience, but then they're also kind of like shitting on people at the same time.
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't possible to do, to reach the masses and then also maintain total competitive integrity. Maybe it's not.
I don't think it's possible. I'm going to say it on the podcast. I don't think it's possible.
What about Rocket League?
Except for Rocket League.
We haven't seen it yet, but... No, but yeah, but that could be the one, right? That could be honestly.
The one. Oh, no, but Rocket League is like... Oh, you're right. It might be the one. You're actually
one,
right.
Dude.
But I don't...
I'm willing to open the door on this one. I think, you know, we haven't seen it yet, but here's Bitcoin 2015.
Stop. Right? Dude, not nah, bring Bitcoin, man. I'm leaving work at work, homie. I'm just going to start crying.
What's the bubble, sweet?
What's the bubble? Every episode, I have to say, what's the bubble?
Maybe the one.
Yeah, I think it might be the one. I don't know. I still don't think we've gotten to like the prophetic game. And I think the prophetic game is going to be a one on mobile. Because that will be truly the masses. Okay? To reach the masses don't have gaming computers. I hate to be that guy. The masses...
Okay, you can have... The only thing about mobile is you cannot have a fully-fledged game with action-based game with mechanics that works well on mobile. That's not possible.
Sure.
I mean, you can never have a better experience.
That's fine.
So that means that you have to have a game that's like primarily strategy-based or something like the games we have right now on the phone and then make that like the prophetic game. But that's already...
Yeah, but that
limited,
but
right?
It is limited, but so is PC gaming as well in that sense. Like, there's some things that are better on the phone that are not good on PC, too. But you just have to play to your strengths. So many times, Launders, we talk about playing to your medium and understanding, like, the limitation of the console or the limitation of, like, what makes something special and games really memorable is by pushing the limitation or using the limitation to your advantage. There is yet to be a game. Maybe it's just because I don't know, but there's yet to be like a really compelling, widespread game that uses mobile technology in a compelling way in my eyes.
Okay.
Maybe Dota Underworld is the answer, but I think that there are games that will be better on mobile than PC. And they're good games that people want to play and are competitive. I don't see why that's not a thing.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, maybe it's something like Pokemon Go. But for something competitive, that's a big thing. Like... That's going to be the excitement. I don't know. I'm very pro mobile. Dare I say?
I get that.
I'm very pro mobile.
Yeah, because because there's, I guess the one thing it has that's like laying dormant is the fact that everybody has a phone.
That they don't use their
hardware.
Not
everybody
either.
Can be on PC.
Yeah, exactly. For us to live that fantasy of Boxwell and have a game that is reached by the true masses, the unfortunate reality is that the true masses don't have a fucking RGB computer in the corner of their room. The masses have phones with untapped hardware that they don't know how to use. So that's going to be...
Weird flex, Squeaks.
What do you mean?
Weird flex.
What, that I have RGB?
So Squeaks in his career streaming has, in his kind of short and uneventful career as a streamer,
rude.
Has run his computer into the ground. He's actually owned it since well before then. Mm-hmm. And since like 2011. So he has had a good run off his last computer, but it's basically like XQC's computer now, where it's like half a case and, kind of an old motherboard. I don't think there's any more thermal paste left. Which is something he only recently learned about, so you know he hasn't changed that out in 8 years.
I don't know what
years.
That is.
Supposed to change that every year. That's basically what's separating the brain of your computer, like your processor, from the motherboard. So it's just now it's just like two pieces of it's like robots having sex.
Ooh,
with no lube.
No wonder they make nice noises.
You're a fucking Wally file, aren't you? You're a little
Eva.
Freak. You're a little freak.
Yeah, so I ordered a computer, basically. Big news, yeah. This just in. I ordered a custom-built, pre-built iBuyPower. I bought the power from iBuyPower. And I don't want to hear the comments, oh, Squeaks bought a pre-built normie, whatever. I admit it, okay? I'm a normie. But I think I got a pretty good deal. So I'm excited for it to come. But we'll see if it comes.
Yeah. So I mean, iBuyPower has had like a few ups and downs with either stream tournament PCs or people kind of complaining about stuff that they have. But they're also pretty widely reputable as like one of the better maybe pre-built companies out there.
Thank
that
you.
Sell pre-built.
I
so,
needed to hear
yeah,
that.
I think you made a good purchase. I hope you get your PC. I mean, I'm rooting for you.
We'll see.
What are the odds?
We'll see. Well, my request did time out when I ordered it, so it charged my PayPal and didn't confirm my order. Then I contacted accounts receivable, and then the love of my life, Sabrina from iBuyPower, shout out to her. She messaged me back saying, "We got your
Have
order."
Have you found out if she puts ranch on pizza, or is that not? Up. Did you sort that out yet? I don't know.
That's
gotta make sure.
That's a second email type of question.
Certain lines you don't cross.
Yeah, so she's the love of my goddamn life. She answered me, confirmed that she knew I was in a vulnerable situation. So she's like, "Don't worry, Squeaks. Great stream, and your computer is on route." And I was like, thank
I like
you.
How you embellish messages about you or to you from people just all the time.
What do you mean? That's what she said.
Yeah. Love Sabrina.
Love Sabrina. Also, you have a great hairline. It was honestly so sweet.
It's like the horizon when you watch the sun come up in the morning. So far away.
What is your hairline fighting with your nose? Okay. What did we answer Boz's question here?
One of them.
Do you think team games or 1v1 games have the potential to be more frustrating? Oh, that's a great question, actually. You want to tackle it? Team Dude, games or 1v1 games more frustrating?
Okay, you know, when you just said that, I'm now thinking about it more, but I think my initial answer would definitely be 1v1. I think that's the reason that 1v1 games have never been as popular is because it's easier in a team game to dish out your frustration on your idiot teammates, or even if they aren't idiots, to be kind of delusional and pretend and tell your mind that it's their fault and not yours. But in 1v1 games, you really are just like kind of you're just like naked standing there in the room and everyone's staring at you. Like if you fuck up, it's you and all eyes are on you. And you really feel like that, I think. And I think that that's why it makes 1v1 games are so frustrating. There's things like ladder anxiety in StarCraft, or you know, Quake just having a hard time getting people to 1v1 duel. You just get your ass handed to you in 1v1 games, and it feels like the end of the world. And I know I think in team games are a little bit more popular, in my opinion, just because you can kind of well, first of all, it's more social, so that's an addictive element about it as well. And then you don't have to take the blame for everything. It's not always your fault.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think so? We're obviously maybe not so obvious. Maybe I feel like we're obviously in an era where team games are thriving, right? Is that a fair statement?
Well, it's true with traditional sports too. I mean, in traditional sports, there's no 1v1 sport that's ever going to be bigger than like the major team sports.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I just think now, especially gaming is so social. Like, I feel like it's really hard for a 1v1 game to stay compelling. But I mean, that being said, like Dota Underlords, Hearthstone, and all are all 1v1 games. But I don't think they could. There's some benefit to having a team game.
That's actually an interesting thing. So with auto chess, so today I was playing auto chess and like Henry G messaged me on Steam and he's like, yo, we're all in Discord playing Underlords, come through. And I was like, oh shit. And I'd never played with people before. I didn't know you could do that. So I go in and it's like Moses, Henry, and like a bunch of guys.
In the same
and we
game.
Were just queued and we queue into the same game together.
What the
And then we're
fuck?
Like talking while we're playing and it's so chill. And you're playing against their board sometimes or other people's boards. But we had like, you know, most of the lobby was just us.
That is fucking true. Yeah, because there's other boards. What am I talking about?
Yeah, it was actually really fun.
That is so cool. Yeah, wait. So then that is social. That is a way to integrate the social aspect of it. I remember when I was like grinding StarCraft a little bit, it was like lonely. Like it was a lonely thing. You know?
Yeah, it's scary and lonely.
It's scary, lonely, and you have to take all of the blame when you inevitably fuck up or find someone who's better than you. So I agree. I don't know. I would say for me, solo games are way more stressful. And for someone who's like obviously better than most at like Counter-Strike, it's really frustrating to play with teammates because they're usually trash. But I can distribute the blame to others and not take responsibility and look at myself in the mirror honestly. You know,
I know that feel. Yeah.
So it's like that's the difference.
I guess the only way to kind of go against or to make a point for in the other direction is to say, you know, there's definitely a certain amount of I feel like careers that are ended because they couldn't find the right teammates.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's because of them, but certainly it could be because of other people. You know, there's like I don't think I've ever played on a good team where I liked every teammate. I don't think that's ever happened. I don't think that's liberty
funny.
A lot of people have, you know? Like, I don't think you can. You've either got to put up with somebody or if you're playing for a year together, you learn things about people, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think that from that, it's kind of, it sucks that it's in that direction. It's like not, it's because it's not your fault, you almost have no control over it or you got to put up with stuff that you can't control yourself.
It's true. I once played on a soccer team and everyone hated everybody. I've never been in a huge team where everyone just despised everyone. And the fucked up thing is that we were so fucking good together. Like we were just incredibly good.
So I kind of love that though.
I hated it. It was so like annoying. Because then after the game, everyone just like, we're not interacting. We just go home. But on the field, it's totally different.
Did it affect it? So how does that not negatively affect the game?
But I feel like everyone was a professional. Like everyone knew. Okay. I mean, we like it's almost advantageous not to have friends on a team. You know? Like it's almost in your benefit.
To a point, right? Like I mean, having enemies I feel like doesn't do you any good, but like maybe just being kind of just cut and dry professionals.
Indifferent.
Wouldn't you say like it would be bad to like have enemies? I mean, I think ideally
it's bad for a personally, but not for a team. Like if the team doesn't rely, like if you just hate everybody on the team equally, then it's like it fizzles out to like apathy where it's like, I don't care what happens to them. So I'm just going to play the best way that we can win.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. There's like the Golden Five, famous in 1.6 for kind of winning a lot, but then literally getting into fist fights at LAN, like the old Polish, they're basically Virtus Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically won so much shit. You know, they were the number one team in the world for a long time, best player and everything like that. And like at this point, Taz has, I've never seen someone be so salty where they were basically family, won everything you could win. And now that Taz has switched teams, recently said, yeah, I don't miss those guys at all. And that this is like six
Yikes.
Months later. So,
Yikes.
I mean, that's kind of fucked up.
It is fucked up. But that, I don't know. I think there's some weird, ugly, Machiavellian, competitive, ugly nature to things that I think is true. I don't know. I've been on teams where we just have too much fun and we'll just lose everything and not care. Because we're like, fuck it. But there's also teams where it's like, oh, you're just always on edge and you just play really well. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. I think there's different motivators for people. I know we don't like that word, but there's like different kind of... Like some people get motivated when you When you either, you know, criticize him for something, like we always talk about when we're watching games, like when Stewie gets mad, that's when he gets that's when he gets nuts, honestly. Like that is, he's literally like a Togepri.
Yeah.
And when he gets mad. And then there's people who respond well to kind of a positive environment. If you ask Daps, for example, he said he had the worst time in the world when he was playing with certain teammates on Conquest. And he said that was the most depressed. He was actually depressed and like had a terrible time playing CS, and for that reason didn't play well. And then on, you know, energy really thrived, really was different, a different player than anyone thought he could be.
Yeah.
Because of the positive environment.
Yeah, that's true. Some people thrive in it. I just think I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Good question, Boggs. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a good one. Wait. What do you dip your pizza in? If it's not, do you dip it in anything?
You're still on this. Ranch? No, I eat pizza like a fucking man, okay? Just plain. I don't even put hot peppers on it. I'm just fucking, I just put that shit in my mouth. Do you dip your pizza in?
What's wrong with hot peppers?
There's nothing wrong with hot peppers.
Hey, sometimes I use a little cheddar jalapeno.
Do you? I'm just like, usually I order the right pizza, you know? So, like, they don't have to put hot peppers. It's hot enough.
I guess, like, hot sausage? Sometimes it's not that hot.
I know, but listen, all I'm saying is that people who put a lot of seasoning on things are just trying to hide some deep, probably have like skulls in their closet because they're trying to hide some deep fucking, like the pizza they ordered was inadequate. So they try to hide the taste with like shit.
Yeah. Sometimes I like, you know, I rely on hot sauce to carry the food. Because
me too.
It's too trash.
Yeah. Like, I recently made a steak and it came out overcooked and I just put like a ton of seasoning on it and hot sauce. I was like, okay, this isn't so bad.
Like, just fucking A1 sauce all over that bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly what I did.
But, you know, that's fine. And no matter how bad a steak gets, let's just never put ketchup on it. I've seen people do this. This needs to stop. It's like, honestly, these people probably eat boneless wings. I mean, I don't even know where they stop.
What's wrong with boneless wings?
Before the cereal.
Hey, you there?
Go ahead.
It's convenient, man. Have you ever been to KFC?
Yes.
Don't they have boneless wings?
I don't know. I don't look for them.
I'm pretty sure they do. It's pretty good. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Or
categorically speaking, boneless wings exist?
What do you mean categorically? Like in the wild? Like are there boneless chickens?
No, not like their fucking genus. No, like categorically, is there another category that boneless wings could be in?
Meat. What do you mean? What other category? What are you talking about?
Nuggets?
Oh, chicken nuggets? That's different shape. Those aren't boneless wings. Boneless wings are shaped like wings, but they're boneless. Boneless wings.
Okay.
What? I don't understand. They're convenient, man. You don't have to bite around the... You can just put that baby in your mouth.
You know, boneless wings aren't even wing meat.
Yeah, but neither are McDonald's chicken nuggets, but they're still incredible.
And those aren't boneless wings.
You're so triggered. No, they're not boneless wings. They're chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
It's like red, pink slime. So that's fine. I mean, they both taste great. Can you're saying you'll never have a boneless wing that tastes good?
I would never call it a boneless wing. It's not a boneless wing.
If it's shaped like a wing,
that
put
was
your
deboned.
Pride away, bro. Put your pride away. Okay, if it's a wing that looks like a
wing.
Are
dildos real dicks? Are they real dicks?
No.
Oh, suddenly they're boneless shaped like dicks. Something. That's what it is.
They're all boneless dicks, Launders.
I'm going to get evicted, dude. I can hear my echo in the door, like across my apartment.
You're going to get a noise complaint talking about boneless dicks.
Yeah. Might have to flirt with my landlord. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A boneless dick.
That's what someone else does.
Oh, my God. No, I think you're wrong. I don't know. We'll just agree to disagree. Not everyone can be right all the time, but... I don't think there's anything wrong with boneless wings.
Let's take it to the court of opinion. Why don't we? Here's a good way to inject some voicemails into the podcast. If you've got an opinion on what boneless wings are or are not.
They're just boneless wings. I don't understand.
If you should skip them, if they should be renamed, whatever your thoughts are, go ahead and leave us a voicemail. You can find the place to leave voicemails on our Esports Pod Twitter. That's at Esports Pod. In the pinned tweet's got all the info.
No, it's at Esports Live Pod.
Thank you so much for assisting me.
Yeah, I'm not the guest, but at Esports Life Pod, okay? don't at anyone else. We don't want anyone, the attention of your anywhere else but me on my Twitter, at Squeaks15, actually.
So go to the pinned tweet at Esports Life Pod, and you can leave a voicemail and, tell us about your thoughts on boneless wings.
Yeah. And share your thoughts regardless. But the argument I'm going to say to quickly summarize it is that boneless wings are still wings. Okay. We don't have to fucking pretend like we're impressing people here.
They never were.
They're shaped like a wing, Launders. If you saw a wing that was boneless and a wing that wasn't, you wouldn't be able to even tell the difference by looking at it, let alone tasting it until a certain point.
So now your argument is because you wouldn't be able to tell the difference that makes it what it is?
Yeah. It is.
Okay. All right. We'll take it to the public court of opinion here. I'd like to really charge the conversation. I think we've addressed points from each side.
Yeah. Once again.
I think, it might be kind of a waste of time, right? I mean, we've already got to the bottom of it, but go ahead if you've got opinions.
Hey, I know someone who has an opinion. We got a voicemail.
Oh. Well, wait, yeah, what the fuck? Can we talk about the dictatorship that's happening right beneath our nose?
Go ahead.
And we didn't. So apparently, Evil Scheme left a voicemail you told me about, but apparently Nathan deleted it. But I've never heard it.
Well, I'm not going to talk shit about our editor because I think Nathan does a bang up job. And I think he's doing really great work for us. But if you want to pick a fight with my boy, Nathan, the floor is yours at Launders. Go ahead.
You do need a lot of allies. You can have this one. You need allies.
What do you mean? Listen, Evil Scheme, if you're listening to this, leave another voicemail. But we do have a voicemail right now that we can listen to, Launders.
Okay, but what the fuck?
I don't know.
We're deleting voicemails.
Yeah, Nathan.
I don't know why we're addressing this on the pod or why I am, but if they're bad, that's good. If they're broken or they have bad quality or they cut out, perfect. That's awesome. Let's hear the voicemail.
Let's get into the voicemail. Ready?
Wait, I don't have.
Oh, you don't have it open. Oh my god.
Give me 1 second.
And the worst part is Nathan's going to cut this out.
This is not going to be edited it out
it
at
is,
all.
Because Launders will look bad, and then I didn't have the questions ready, so I look bad. It's just always in Launders' favor. Are you ready? I'm stalling time.
Hey, boys. It's Lush from Twitter. I was curious, is there a point that you guys, with a show or a movie where it's too raw? I'm currently watching Euphoria on HBO, which I highly recommend, but it's very intense in a good way, but also it makes me uncomfortable. Because it's almost too real. Do you guys think there's a line in which
this is the intended pause and
it upsets people, or do you think it's healthy to explore?
Another intended pause. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
And that kind of stuff for the realistic hardships that it causes and the brutal nature of it. I was curious if there's that line or how you guys feel about that entire area. I mean, I think it's great, but it also, like I said, it kind of freaks me out and makes me uncomfortable sometimes. All right, thanks, boys.
Dude, I totally get
that. Yeah, that the first part of it was just about shows, right? Just like, are there some shows that are just too real, too uncomfortable to watch?
Yeah. Basically. Like, do you ever sacrifice quality? Like, do you ever, the show is really good, but it gets too real and you're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I don't normally, like, I have a pretty good tolerance for, like, horror and gore and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I like the really kind of like mystery thriller stuff. But have you ever seen Dark? Is like this show that's really popular right now. And there's some like time traveling in it. And it's like, it's got the tone of like a crime thriller, basically. And it's, there's a lot of kind of existential and philosophical questions that come up in it in dark ways. And then I'm watching it sometimes and I'm like, I can't help thinking about those questions. And I get a little scared in real life in a very real way. Yeah.
Like,
and
what
and
questions?
So,
what do you mean?
Well, just existential kind of questions about,
that's interesting.
How time travel would work if it was real. Like, what do we know about what do we know? And, some of the stuff. And then you're kind of seeing it visualized and it's done really well. And, as much as it's just a show, I mean, it's the real questions.
I got to check that out. That sounds awesome.
So it's cool because it's actually a show that was translated from, or that it's subtitled and they have dub as well, but who watches the fucking dub? But you can watch the show on Netflix and It's and you can watch it with subtitles, and it's from Germany. It was actually made in German Netflix, and it got so popular, it's like got dubbed over. So it's one of those shows.
Oh, nice, dude! That sounds really cool. What the fuck?
It's really fucked. Yeah, it's actually awesome, and I'm just starting season two. Just kind of plowed through the season over the weekend, and I was so confused, and now I'm like, I'm begging for more, but it is really scary. Like Lucia's asking, like it did get a little real and a little scary, and it does affect my experience because I'm sitting there kind of like legs up on the chair watching intently, and they're asking these real questions. I'm like, this is so fucking real right now.
Yeah, but would you say it takes away from your enjoyment of it, the realness?
I don't know, man.
Or does it add to the enjoyment?
I think this is why the question is so good, because it's like it's just putting you so close to that edge where you're like, I kind of wish it wasn't this real right now, but this is a really fucking good question.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of context, too. Like, if I'm coming home from work, I don't want to watch something that's emotionally draining. Like, I totally get it when people who are working all day, they watch, like, something super non-committal, like Parks and Rec or The Office or something, where they don't have to think.
Yeah.
They can just, like, put it on. I get that, but I feel like your media palette doesn't grow if you just do watch the same shit over and over again. So it affects me. Like, I had trouble getting through Breaking Bad. Like, respect to Vince Gilligan, the writing staff of Breaking Bad is incredible, but it's so sad and real that I like found myself not wanting to watch it and watching like How I Met Your Mother, because I'm like, that's a show that the writing is fine, but it's so like not, it doesn't drain me emotionally each
dude,
episode.
The one with the crackhead family and like the ATM
dude,
falls
yeah.
on the dude.
Fuck
that was.
Man.
Fuck,
yeah, like
man.
It's so good.
That's like
though.
Gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was so good. But I mean, like, I respect it, but at the same time, I 100% agree with Lush. I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna watch that because that's where it takes away from my experience a little bit.
Yeah. So that is a good question. Shows can be extremely good. I mean, they just now with the ability to like make things look exactly how you imagine them with either CGI or just great set design or whatever. I mean, it's just really getting close to real life in a lot of ways, and they could, you know, storytelling's only getting better, writing's only getting better. So, yeah, stuff's starting to feel more real and more and more real. And I think when you're a kid, a lot of stuff feels real even if it looks terrible. But now it's like harder to convince, but the shows are keeping up. Like, you know, even with my kind of like 14-year-old brain, it's like it's keeping up.
Yeah, 100%. Great question. And I should check out Euphoria from HBO. I heard good things. So thanks, Lush.
Cool. Wow. We just jumped into a voicemail.
Yeah, just like that. And you know how you should leave us a voicemail, listener. You could be on the pod as well, just like our boy Lush. Next question. You mentioned Lion. And he asks, what are your worst travel stories, planes, trains, or otherwise? Launders, you're the world traveler and you're about to leave for Blast LA. I don't want to curse any, you know, put any spells on you. But what's the worst travel story? Do you have one?
Oof.
And I'm putting you on the spot.
Story.
There's probably so many bad ones.
Yeah, there's so many bad ones. I think the worst is when I was going to ESEA MDL. The Mountain Dew Land Finals, and I got like a giant fever, and I got a fever at the airport, obviously, because it's a bunch of fucking unkempt, disgusting airline passengers, aka the worst people on the planet, who carried their disease onto the plane, and I got sick, and it was during the worst snowstorm in like the U.S. in like however many years. 2 years ago, I think it was. It was when Donald Trump tweeted, "How about that global warming or something?" not knowing what global warming was.
Yeah.
And then I got super sick, and they had to reroute my plane from New York to Boston. And then I had a fever, and then I had to find my own hotel, stay there overnight, and then get into New York late, and then have to cast the land. Being just so extremely sick, that was probably the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
Wait, so you're sick in the plane too, then?
Yeah, sick in the plane. One of the worst fevers I've ever had. Then I get rerouted. Then I have to go and figure out how to get on a new flight with the rest of everybody on the plane. So we're all like competing to get to the help desk to figure out who can get flights first. And I'm standing there just trying to keep the snot in my nose.
Ew.
And I'm like, just hot. You know what I mean?
Sweaty.
And just like standing there with like 30 people and just listening into conversations as people get booked for flights that I might want. And they're like, oh, you can be on the wait list for this one, or there's this option tomorrow. We don't know what you can do. What would you like to do? And I'm thinking, oh my God, am I going to be in line for this? And so that was just very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that sounds
not
terrible.
A fun trip.
No, yeah. That sounds really bad. I have one that was the worst, and it was recent. So I used to go back and forth to California a lot. So I currently live in Portland. So the flight's like an hour and a half. So bear in mind, it's a short flight. And once I was in the SFO airport flying United, and which is, I hate United. Fuck it, man.
United.
I hate United with all my heart.
I don't think we ever want a United sponsor.
No, that's why I was like thinking.
Air Canada, Delta,
we're all open, homies. Yeah, United. But like, okay, so my flight got delayed. So I was stuck in the airport for like 16 hours for a 1.5 hour flight. Ooh. Like I could have driven there and halfway back in a car. So, but here's the catch. So we get on the plane after like a 3 hour delay. That's normal. That's fine. Whatever. 3 hours. It's annoying. And we're on the plane. And then we get an announcement that says, and I shit you not, it sounds like I'm making it up, but I swear. That they say, oh, we don't have like one of the pilots. Like one of the pilots is landing on another plane. And I'm like, we're just sitting there in the plane for like 2 hours. We're like, how are we in a plane without the pilot? Without a pilot. Like, how do you not board? It's like a comic. And then
it's like you forgot pants when you walk outside.
Seriously. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, I don't have pants?
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing
And then
that
2 hours
up.
Later where we're sitting in a fucking station plane, the stewardess goes on and says, sorry, we're gonna have to deplane, like the pilot's thing got rerouted. So we deplane, and then
you get the communal groan.
Everyone's pissed because they put us in a plane for longer than the flight itself, and then we were pissed. And then we just kept getting updates that it got delayed, and then they said the next flight that we're gonna all get on is in 18 hours. But don't worry. Oh. Don't worry. We'll give you a free hotel voucher. So we're standing in a line for hotels, but the hotel is booked and they're giving us a voucher. I shit you
not.
That's
what I mean.
United.
They're never prepared for this.
A useless voucher that says that you have it, but there's no spots at the hotel. And nobody had food because it's an hour and a half flight. So they gave out like fucking chewy bars. And fruit snacks.
Nice.
And they gave us fucking food vouchers for the airport, but all the food places were closed except for vending machines.
Holy shit. So you would have had, you had to go and book your own hotel or sleep in the airport. That was your own, that was your only two options.
Yeah. And the
because
airport
they,
was...
they effectively accommodate, like they did their half.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
So can you believe that? So I slept at the airport with a bunch of other random people, and dude, the flight over was hilarious, dude. Like the whole plane was so toxic. Like the second there was like even a 5 minute delay, there's like someone screaming at the stewardess, like, get on with it. They're trying to save me. It was like this communal fuck you. And you know what? United gave me $150 back, and that's it.
Interesting. I actually so when I've got a rebate, little rebate story. So I flew from it was to Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is actually a two-parter. Wow, this might be worse than the other one.
Oh,
so
shit.
I flew from Toronto to Frankfurt to go for like to Denmark or to Katowice or something for some CSGO thing. And then when we got on the plane, we got on late. We got off the tarmac after like an hour. And then when we got into the air, we were flying for like 3-4 hours. And then suddenly there was deep vibrations in the plane.
What the
and
fuck?
Nobody knew what was going on. We turned around after we got over like Montreal or like Quebec, and we had to fly back to Toronto, land, wait there, figure out what happened to the plane, fix the plane, and then we found out that a bird hit the cargo door and knocked it loose. And something hit the cargo door and knocked it loose. And then we had to, and then they had to fix that. And then we had a deboard, and everybody's like, okay, is this plane going to crash? You know, like everyone's like really worried. And a funny story. I mean, for people I understand who don't travel a lot, I get it. But like we get back on the plane, everybody's sitting in their seats and everybody's terrified because they're like, we're just landing a plane that was broken just now. But just as a message to people who may be like overly scared about flying or something like that, If this is a situation where you're in, you get back on the plane, they're not letting that plane take off until everything's fixed. Like, that would be the absolute worst nightmare for them. But not only that, you have the pilot coming around to every seat, calming people down. And it's like, man, you think the pilot is going to take, like, fuck you. You think he gives a fuck about you? Yeah. He's not thinking about that when he's saying, don't worry, ma'am. It's going to be fine. I made sure everything's checked. He made sure everything is checked because of him. And that's what you should be that's what you should be happy to hear. Yeah. There's no pilot on the plane. That would be less worrying. But for that, I got $1,000.
Are you kidding me? I would take that.
The best part was somebody emailed me. It was like a company that emails you on behalf of companies. And they found out like that they find all these flights that are like delayed for no reason, or they get, you know, stuff like that happens, extenuating circumstances, and they figure out how much money you can get, and then they do it for you, and then they take money out of what you would make. So I got like $1,000.
Oh, that's awesome! What the hell? I want to get $1,000 for that. I just got a fucking headache and a $150 United voucher.
And the best part is I didn't even pay for the flight.
Oh my god, you son of a bitch! But you made a ton. Hey, that's amazing, man. What the hell? That's sick.
Well, okay, this is where it gets worse. We land in Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. Frankfurt is this area that has... So there's certain airports like Chicago, Frankfurt. There's certain like port airports that are so popular for connection flights that they become like enormous and like really busy. But if they weren't built properly because they didn't know their location would be so popular for transfers, they start to sprawl out in these ways where you need buses to get to different terminals. You have to go through customs multiple times.
That's like SFO.
All this shit.
So
this is Frankfurt to a T for Europe. Like, they are the hub, and they are the absolute worst for like getting across the airport. So I land an hour before my flight takes off from Frankfurt, and I run from my gate that I landed at to the gate that I needed to fly from and still missed my flight. Me and Daps were running full speed. I was running in my boxer slippers across Frankfurt, and we still missed our flight by like 10 minutes. Had to fly. And then we're supposed to, it was to Katowice, and we had to fly to Krakow 8 hours later. So we ended up walking around the airport, going to different stores and stuff. And then we had to fly to Krakow and then take a bus from Krakow to Katowice.
Oh my God. Yeah, that fucking blows. Yeah, dude, some airports are built so poorly too.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the question, Lion. I'm sure, I hope we answered it. You got us on a tear, man. All right, next question. Oh, Lion's actually traveling right now, so he's in an airplane as we speak.
He's coming to Toronto.
Yeah, and you didn't give him Toronto.
I did. Kids. I gave him a lot.
You did? Within? Yeah. Oh, okay. Good for you.
Whole page.
Yeah. Okay, next question. This is from @Jari_R6. What do you think of the Rainbow Six scene, if you have an opinion? This one, I think, is catered for more for you. I don't know much about Rainbow Six.
Yeah, so I'll keep it kind of short. So it's basically, I mean, I like the Rainbow Six scene. Seems awesome. It's like a super up-and-coming game. It's a game that has a really interesting mechanic with the wall banging and stuff that makes it totally proprietary, really hard to replicate. That physics system they added, which adds tons of depth to the game. Mm-hmm. And the scene is growing like crazy. And it seems like it's awesome. And they kind of have like a lot of attention from Ubisoft. I think the game is awesome. The scene is awesome. And it feels like it's only getting more and more popular. And they really root for it as a game that has been out for a long time, that fixed itself by great devs that have been dedicated and have been given a long enough leash by like Ubisoft to really fix the game and actually have seen a resurgence. And it's to the point where now we talk about Rainbow Six as a tier one esport when like a few years ago, it was literally CSGO in 2012 and no one ever thought it would get fixed. So I'm really cheering for it as a game that is like very up and coming and has a ton of growth potential and has been out for so long. And hopefully that'll be a lesson for other devs. You can look at a game like that and say, okay, hey, maybe we can get a little bit more time so that we can work on something and really like give it the time and effort to make a game like some of the other games like League of Legends, Dota, Counter-Strike that have been out for so long, that have so much time to develop.
Operators Launders helps the game? Because so like, as opposed to something like Counter-Strike where it's like very simple to understand at the offset.
Why don't you, have you ever played Rainbow Six? You probably honestly played as much as I have, right?
Yeah. I've played a little bit of Rainbow Six. Yeah.
What do you think about operators? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I think operators are super hard. It's hard for like a casual like me to get into it. Because like, not only do you have to know your own operator, but you have to understand what other operators have and stuff like that. like my aim is fine at coming from Counter-Strike, but there's a lot of like stuff to know to understand like the context of like what's going on. And like even like using the drones or whatever, it's like, I don't know, there's shock drone, yeah. There's like weird, a lot to know. It reminds me of like trying to understand Dota, but to a less extreme level.
It is, though. They see themselves more as a MOBA, I think, that like as a MOBA than an FPS.
Yeah, I get that. So that's like the hurdle. I think it's hard for it to really catch on, but I don't think you have to have mainstream catch on to be really successful as an esport, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I like it. I'm rooting for it, man.
No, I get you too, man. Like, I think about how much stuff there is to learn, and stuff slowly starts to make sense, but there's tons of maps, tons of operators, tons of different unique abilities, and all of those interactions.
Right.
Know? So it's just like there's so many things to learn, and at least the aiming is really simple and people die quickly. So it's like positioning wins, stuff like that. That's really good. But yeah, there's like a ton of stuff to learn. And I'm always surprised when I see big streamers get over the hump, like Shroud, Dr. Disrespect, a few other guys, Any Munition. Like they've like taken time with their stream to learn a game. There's a lot to learn, and they still stuck in. So I'm kind of curious about that. I would like to kind of get to that place where I feel comfortable and know how to play it really well. And yeah, because I think that's cool. But I just like you, I'm kind of like, this is overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Cool. Thanks for the question, JK.
So we got a last one to round this out.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we've got this one from a dilated pupil, and this is about players being old but still good. Chris J, being 29 years old and still fragging out of his mind, somewhat defies the perspective that esports careers have to be much shorter than traditional sports. With that being said, do you think someone could continue playing into CSGO into their late 30s/40s and still be a star? And that's, you know, an awesome question. That's totally theoretical. I mean, it's totally, sorry, that would totally be speculation, you know, obviously, because we haven't seen that yet. What do you think? Do you think, how important do you think things like reaction time and things that are said to degrade as you get older, how important are those things for being a top pro?
A top pro? I think it's important. I'm going to take the pessimistic view, man. I don't think, like, you don't, when you're young, you don't think these things matter. But as you age, like, you get it. You know, your reaction time is slower. Like, it's just not the same.
Yours?
Mine.
Do you feel like that?
I do feel like that. Dude, yesterday.
First of all, I don't think physiologically that's possible at 20. Were you 26? 25?
Yeah, 25.
I don't think that's even.
But remember yourself at like 18?
Dude, I'm literally the same. I don't see
you don't think
a reaction
so?
Time difference at all. No.
I feel like I was so much faster.
Really?
Yeah. And like, okay,
I'm shocked. I don't think your body is even degrading at that point at all. In
well, maybe
sense.
Not yours.
No, but just like what it's like a male body or males will continue to kind of keep generating tissue and growing their body until they're like 27 or 28. And then from there, it's like a slow decline, but like you kind of are just plateaued for a while. You could still be like in the best shape of your life in your 30s. I think there's also a slight difference between 30s and 40s. Like, I think that's totally different.
Okay.
But I mean, I think like 30, 35, 36, I think it's still very possible.
Okay. To be a top pro, to be a 35-year-old top pro in Counter-Strike, my ass. 100%. My ass. There's no way. There's just no way.
I think there's more to be said about experience than there is to be said about having good reactions.
Okay, wait, so now are we just talking physiologically, or are we also talking
well,
like...
Well, what's the only difference? What's the other difference?
Usually
they have
kids.
Better,
no, but I'm
smarter.
Saying, hold on. There's also like a bunch of environmental stuff going on too. Typically, if you're younger, you don't have that much going on. You don't have to make money. But for someone to be up and coming as a 36-year-old, like, give me a break. There's not going to have the same amount of time. They're probably working full time plus.
What do you mean up and coming? We're talking about players like Chris J that
okay,
are already
that have
pros,
been around.
Been
I know, but I'm saying like on average, the mean age of a Counter-Strike player is going to be inherently younger, right? Because they're the ones who are putting in the time. Like they have the time.
Yeah,
to
but if it's your full time job, you're putting in the time.
But for That's it to become a full time job, you have to have the ability to put in a ton of time beforehand, right? Like you have to, so that's the difference. I'm saying like, so we can agree that the average age is going to be young, but as those young people get older, and we've seen it, like for every Chris J, there's like seven new tens and Stewies. Like, I don't know.
So what?
I don't know. I just, my body's rejecting it, Launders.
What are you saying? Are you saying because those players exist and Chris J can't? So then you're seeing, then why if Chris J is putting the exact same amount of time because he's paid to do it, is, can he not, will he be worse than players who are younger than him?
And like in some ways, yeah. In reaction.
But why?
I don't
okay,
know.
So you're going back to
physiological. Yeah,
stuff, right?
I think so, man.
Okay, see, I don't think that's that important. Yeah, I don't.
You don't?
Also, you're literally like 15 years better, so.
I guess, in terms of experience, I don't know.
Yeah, who cares about that, right?
I don't know. Man. Sometimes experience plays to someone's detriment, though, I think.
Maybe. I do think the kids thing is like maybe unavoidable for top pros, and that would maybe change where you want to go in your life or how much time you feel like you have left as a career, like mentally speaking.
Yeah,
but
yeah, there's all so many extenuating factors when you're 40 too. 30 or 40s, like, give me a break.
Hair starts growing out of your
ears. Usually you have kids, like, or a family, like, you can't compete, like, the just
yeah,
the travel.
Are you gonna have kids?
I already have some. No. Am I gonna have kids? No, I'm gonna go pro in Counter-Strike. I'm gonna right when I'm 48. It'll be like, what's that girl's name on ESEA? Who got banned that you were saying?
Oh, Benny.
Yeah.
Benny the gaming grandma.
That's going to be me. Squinny.
He's had the exact same hairline for 20 years, but it's still bad.
It's like when he was 13, he had this hairline. We don't know if he's 13 or 50. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm negative on it.
Okay. I guess we'll find out. I think there's, you know, there's a much higher rate of players getting weeded out along the way for different reasons. But like Chris J, let's say he doesn't have kids. I think that's maybe the most valid reason why someone might change a lot as a player if they're also being paid to play as a full-time job. Just like mentally.
Dude, yeah. Like, how many hours do you think a pro CS player puts into the game every day? Like, an insane amount, right?
5 to 8.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, they can't always play, though. You know, there's a lot of travel days.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's actually, maybe it is possible, Launders. Maybe my career path is more taxing than a Counter-Strike pro.
Yeah, you work more than a Counter-Strike pro, for sure.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Wow, I should be a pro. You're right. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, getting paid to be elite is like a whole bunch of things. Just like your gift, plus your work ethic, plus kind of like how much, plus your experience, I think is a big thing, right?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I never thought about that. I was under the impression there were like, so like there's a regimen. Well, first, like there's like, yeah, you don't play all the time, but you watch demos. Or like there's some sort of team thing that's going on at least for 9 or 10 hours, right? To be a top pro, like I'm talking about Astralis guys, or like
I don't think any of them get to play 9 or 10 hours anymore. I mean, there might be a few days a month where they can do that, but not with the traveling.
Yeah, you're right.
No, the traveling is a big because people were criticizing like people's hours at one point, like Bialys and stuff like that. But then if you looked at the schedule for them, there's like multiple days where they don't have access to computer, or they can only play for a certain amount of hours and they have media, or they're playing during a match day. They aren't playing for the whole day. They're just playing 3 hours.
Yeah, so, that's weird. I never thought about that. Huh, it's a good question. Yeah. Maybe I'll change my mind the more I think about it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll get to find out. You know, we'll all be around in a few years, and it'll be cool to see who sticks around. If Forrest, Chris J, people like that. I mean, I find it so weird to call Chris J at 29 old. And Pupil is not doing this, but, you know, just even kind of frame players of that age is as being, well, potentially past their prime just doesn't even register to me. But, yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Cool. Thanks for the question, cool. Dilapidated, what was it? Pupil? Yeah, thanks.
Dilated.
Oh, dilated pupil. A_dilatedpupil. Thank you for the question.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. It's late. You worked a lot. We had a meeting. I don't want to make this go on too long. We just crossed the hour mark. This is a podcast that's being recorded for the 22nd of this month. It's now the 10th. So
wait, so people on Twitter are gonna wait for their question to be answered in the 3 weeks.
It feels so much better, you know. It's kind of like there's a place in LA called Howlin' Rays, uh-huh. and it's just got lineup out the mall.
It's like the sunglasses, right?
No, they make Louisiana style chicken sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
But it's like really popular, and like Gordon Ramsay co-signed it and stuff. So it's just like mad rammed all the time. If you go there, you have to wait an hour and a half to get to the front, and they have tons of people working. Like they're not trying to do that.
Damn.
But that adds to how good it tastes. You come there hungry, you wait for an hour and a half, hour, 40 minutes. I mean, that sandwich is going to taste good no matter what. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. That's like Portland brunch,
this
dude.
Podcast is going to be sweet.
Yeah, hopefully when you guys listen to it. Yeah, hopefully nothing big happens the next 3 fucking weeks.
Chris J retires.
Bro, do you know what's so funny? Fuck, maybe I shouldn't bring it up. But remember when like 2 podcasts ago, you're talking about Kawhi? About him joining, you're like, rumor has it he's going to be on Toronto because his kid fucking, I was listening to that and the day it fucking
dropped.
Oh,
yeah. And then the
like a week before he was on the Clippers. Oh. And I was like, oh, this is hilarious.
Oh, that's so weird.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It aged like fine wine. I was like, really good. Great job, Launders. The leak was wrong.
Cool. Yeah.
But good. We got to hold your feet to the fire when all your predictions don't come true and all mine do.
Not biased at all. You know, not hoping on my hands and knees, that Kawhi would say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeesh.
Cool. Well, okay. Thanks, everybody. If you have voicemails, once again, at Esports Life Pod. If you want to catch us, we're on Twitter at Launders at Squeaks15. You can catch the Squeak streaming at Squeaks15 on Twitch. Apple podcast reviews.
You can't get it. It's not
Did
iTunes.
I do it, right?
It's Apple podcast, right? I check every time.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so leave us a review there if it's 5 stars. If not, you know, if you've not got something nice to say, don't say it, as our mom has always told us.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
Bye.